When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. Three blues, three opinions, one Everton podcast.
Welcome to episode 175 of the Unholy Trinity Podcast, brought to you in association with Sports Social, the UK's only dedicated sports podcast network, and also Fanatics. Delighted to say, joining myself and Lee today from the band The Baines is Kev O'Neill. Kev, how are you, mate? All the way over in sunny Ireland.
Yeah, not too bad, lads. Thanks very much for asking us on. Be nice if it was in better circumstances. You could have got me last Monday, and you would have to pull me down off the ceiling first. But yeah, look, thanks for asking us on. That's great.
Yeah, don't like to spoil our guests too much, Kev. You know, we had a good win on Monday. Let's not go overboard now. You know. Is everything that we're talking about. So it's all a little bit not doom and gloom, of course. Obviously, a little bit we've been brought down, like you say, off the ceiling after today's game against Manchester City, with Everton losing the game by 3-0. By the way, Pete was due to come on, for those who asked, because Pete's missed the last couple. Very busy man, as we always say. He was due to come on, but something's come up last minute, because I was at the match with Pete today. Had a good chat on the way home as well. But he'll be back next weekend to look back over the Wolves game. But straight into today, of course, the champions were in town, a game which me and Lee, we discussed it on Tuesday after the great win against Brighton, and said that anything against Manchester City would be an absolute bonus. Let's get it right. The potentially the best club in the world, Andy. You know, it's the chances are they'll qualify for the Champions League final. But, it's always difficult when a side can make a fair few changes and the quality just doesn't reduce in any way, shape or form. And that was what the case was today. But Kev, I'll come to you first. You know, the first sort of 30, 35 minutes before our first goal, I thought Everton acquitted themselves very, very well. Looked like we did against Brighton. Dangerous on the counter-attack. We looked very disciplined in our defensive duties. And it was a good start to the game for the Blues, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought it was a great start. You couldn't criticise them for the first, as you said, 35 to whatever it was, 37 minutes. They were set up, I suppose, in a similar way to our, against Brighton. Obviously, a little bit deeper, you know what I mean? But I thought they were good. I thought they were breaking quite well. The chance to fall to Holgate, off the header down from Tarkowski, probably should score. I know it's come at him a little bit difficult, but I think he probably should adjust himself, and put it away. But I guess once City get one against you, then you're hugely up against it, and to concede two then, so soon after, it was game over, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a disappointing thing from our perspective, really, wasn't it? After such a good start, and we know you've got to be switched on for the whole 90 against Manchester City. After such a great start, we saw ourselves not just concede the one goal, which by the way was world class, and no other side, no other player potentially scores that kind of goal, because Gundogan, I think, is vastly underrated, and what a finish that was. But we conceded the second really, really quickly, which put the game to bed, which, just before half time, if you go in a goal down, you give yourself a real chance in the second half. But Lee, you know, the game, like I said, the game today, it was, maybe it shouldn't be viewed this way because you've got to be competitive in every kind of game. But there's a massive, massive gap of in terms of quality between the two sides. Did it disappoint you the way that we conceded two goals quickly, despite it being Manchester City? Because, like I said, it sort of then lost us the game before our time, didn't it?
Well, it's just very hard to be critical, isn't it? Like you just said before, I mean, Manchester City, this current Manchester City team, even just Guardiola's Manchester City teams, is you know, arguably some of the best sides we've ever seen in English football, never mind the Premier League. I mean, if they win the league this season, it looks like they're going to, Brighton are winning at the minute, then that's essentially five out of the last six leagues, isn't it? Which is absolutely insane. And you know, we were very, very solid in the first 30 minutes, 35 minutes, like Kev was saying there. We restricted them to next to nothing. They'd had a shot from distance from Rodri, which was an easy save for Pickford. That was their only shot of any note in the whole game. Until the first goal. So, you know, not only were we restricting them in terms of chances on goal, we were restricting them just very well in the centre of the park, weren't we? Closing down the spaces. They like to play between the lines. They like to switch the play quickly. We really restricted them really well. And then you've got to just say, it's like a moment of genius, really, that. I mean, not many players, like you just said there, Mike, would essentially be able to, you know, score a goal from that position. Where he took it down on his knee and flipped it like that with his foot is, you know, it's improvisation and it's also skill at the same time and fair play to the lad. I mean, obviously, you know, we knew we had to stay tight. We did stay tight. Like Kev just said there, we had a few half chances. That one with Holgate's a good chance. It's one of those. It just bounced up on him. Couldn't get his leg over it. You know, if on another day that just sits up perfectly for him and he probably gets a shot on goal. So we're a bit unfortunate there. But, you know, we were obviously forced into a change at left back, wasn't it? And that's an interesting shout, obviously playing Holgate there. You'd probably think Godfrey would get the shout there if he was fit. Because obviously Godfrey, arguably, even though he is a centre-back, has played better at left-back than he certainly has at right-back. Dyche came out, didn't he, and said Mikulenko picked up an injury yesterday, the day before, which was less than ideal. Obviously, we've got no other real choices at left-back. I know you and I spoke, didn't we, about the potential of doing what he did in the second half when we were 3-0 down, going five at the back and bringing playing McNeil at left wing-back. Could he have gone with that from the start, from the off? It's one of those if, buts and maybes, isn't it? Because at the end of the day, we looked like a side that had really sort of stifled them. And that first goal then followed immediately, like you just said, straight away by the second goal, just killed the game instantly, didn't it?
Well, obviously the discussion around the left-back position today, it is an interesting one, you know, which I suppose hindsight is a wonderful thing. And we did see in the second half, Dwight McNeil went over, didn't he, and played wing back after obviously a variety of changes in the second half. And I thought he acquitted himself particularly well. I think Dwight McNeil, by the way, yet again, was probably our best player. You know, his attitude is spot on, never stops all game. His quality is there as well. But he slotted in at left wing back. And you look at it and think, well, maybe could we have started with three centre halves today? Maybe, you know, Connor Cody came on, thought he did well alongside Jeremina. And James Tarkowski. So you'd think, should the manager have done that? But it's all hindsight. You know, we've been playing forward back for quite a while, and not having Mikulenko was a blow, because obviously, yeah, having a left-footed left-back is always better than having a right-footed left-back. And obviously, Mason Holgate comes in. Difficult day. Didn't start particularly well. A poor pass back early on, which almost let them in, obviously. We managed to block off the runner and Jordan Pickford got to the ball, and it sort of didn't get much better for him. And I do feel for him in a way, you know, when you put a right footer on the left or left footer on the right in defensive terms, it's always difficult for them to obviously to adapt. And bear in mind, his last performance, his last appearance with the club, he got sent off at Crystal Palace. So I'm sure he's not maybe in the best frame of mind, but needs...
Also playing fullback. well,
yeah, other side of the pitch. Obviously, we're playing fullback, so that's probably going to be fresh in his mind. And he's against an even better quality of opposition than he was on the day in terms of Andre Ayew, who absolutely tore Adore's Holgate apart on that day. So it was a difficult day for him. But like you say, it needs must. And with only having Mikhailenko, obviously, Vinagre's injured, Ben Godfrey's injured. So it was a difficult thing for the manager to do today. I'm sure he would have liked to have picked the same start 11 that he picked against Brighton. But obviously, we saw Mason Holgate get taken off early in the second half when we were 3-0 down. And what are your thoughts on the reaction, Kev? You know, without sort of sitting here and calling people out, I'm never a fan of however poorly a player might play. I'm never really a fan of cheering them when they get taken off, because, you know, we said off air just then, we might need them at some point. You know, we've got two massive games to come up before the season finishes. We need to pick up points to stay in the Premier League. Who's to say that we're not going to call upon them in those two games?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's probably easy for me to say it sitting back here in Ireland, you know what I mean? But I don't like it myself personally, you know what I mean? Never did. I remember one major incident, I suppose, at Arsenal there with Granit Xhaka, wasn't it? I think when it happened to him, and it looked like, you know, his career at Arsenal was going to be doomed. And you know, then he turned it around. Look at him now. He's probably close to indispensable for him now in a way. You know what I mean? Look, I understand the frustrations of people. Do you know what I mean? And the Evertonians, home and away, you know, you can't criticise. But, I mean, at the end of the day, Mason Holgate's been asked to play a left back. Because why? Because it goes back to the old issue that we've been through a million times of bad recruitment over a long period of time now. And if we're left with just Mikhailenko and then Godfrey, who's not even a left back, I mean, you know, you'd have to have a small bit of sympathy for the lad, because he's clearly not a left back. He's not a right back. And, you know, there's an argument to say, is he a Premier League centre half? You know what I mean? Even so, it's difficult. But as you know, I don't want to come on and slate Holgate or slate any individual either. You know what I mean? Because I think it goes back to that deep rooted problem of poor recruitment by other people at the club, and then it exposes somebody to put into a position like that, and it's very, very difficult for him. You see him coming off and covering his face with his shirt over, and it's never nice to see that, you know.
No, you're right.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, Kev. I think, you know, you can understand the frustrations, like you said, bang on. But at the same time, you know, like Mike just said then, we could need him. You know, we could need him the last two games. We, you know, with his injuries there, you know, you mentioned off air then, Kev, that Mina was grabbing his hamstring a little bit. You know what I mean? I mean, I know the likes of Cody, and according to Dice, probably Keane would get the nod ahead of him. But, you know, he may have to come in and play left back again next game. Yeah, I mean, we genuinely don't know. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of doing that. At the end of the day, now the fans today were brilliant again from the off. You know, from the start, even at the end, applauding the team, fantastic. You know, they knew what we were up against today, and that was, like I said, one of the best ever teams English football seen. But I wanted to ask you, Kev, just quickly. I mentioned on the pod last week, you know, obviously we've just come off the back of a brilliant win against Brighton. You know, played fantastic. As Pep said today in the actual post-match, Everton are, well, his words were, the best team in transition. I'd probably debate that a little bit. But certainly said since Calvert-Lewin and Decore and everything else, you know, has come into the side, he said that obviously we've been, as he showed against Brighton, we were exceptional. Would you rather have us played maybe, like, say, Bournemouth at home today? Or, you know, even Wolves away, and, you know, now you've got you on the momentum of that Brighton game, or would you rather just got this City one out of the way?
That's a difficult one, but I think I'd probably go with the latter. I think get it out of the way. I think we absolutely know now the situation. We've got these two games that we've all been saying all along, it's probably going to come down to those two games, those Wolves and Bournemouth games, and that's what's ahead of us now. City's gone, you know. It's gone, it's done. And, you know, I mean, Manchester City don't lose a lot of football matches. I mean, you go into every game with hope, but, I mean, look at the players that left out of the team today. Stones, Silva, whoever else, Grealish, you know what I'm saying? I mean, come on, it's a big, big ask for anybody. But look, now we know what we have to do. We've got those two games. The fixtures, they're not so bad, if you ask me. You know, I know a lot of people use the term about being on the beach for Wolves and Bournemouth. I'm not sure it'll be that straightforward. But I would be relatively confident, as much as an Evertonian can be, that we get what we need in the next two games. But central to that is Dominic Calvert-Lewin's fitness.
Well, that was the negative, really, wasn't it? Because obviously at half-time, we didn't see Dominic Calvert-Lewin emerge. We saw Neil Mopay going through a rigorous warm-up. Obviously, he was stripped off ready to go. So you know at that point, well, there's only one player that he's going to replace, and that's Dominic Calvert-Lewin. And it was obviously a massive blow, because I thought Dom, yet again, I thought he acquitted himself fantastically well. You know, he's been in great form the last couple of games. He's looking fit and sharp, and he did some really good number nine forward play. You know, he was fantastic. He held the ball up well. He ran at them, didn't he? Drew fouls, and that's what Dominic Calvert-Lewin's all about. You know, and it was great to see him in the first half be a pain, you know, and cause issues for the City defence. I thought some of his play where he's bringing people in, even from wide positions, was great to see. And that's what he offers. And obviously, we've heard since from the manager that, you know, he had a slightly tight, felt a little bit of tightness in his groin. Obviously, no chances taken. He said it was, we were 50-50, really, whether he's going to come back on. Dom was willing to give it a go. And obviously, Everton said, listen, you know, we've got two big games coming up, with 2-0 down against Man City, rightly or wrongly. Save you for another day and save you from going out there and aggravating it any further. So, fingers crossed, you know, that Dom can get through this week and he's good to go on Saturday. Because, Lee, I mean, how much of a blow would that be if we miss Dominic Calvert-Lewin without sort of going down a negative road that we can try and help it? To lose him, you know, the player that we've strived to have in that side all season, to lose him after he's come back and found some great form, it'd be a huge blow, wouldn't it?
Massive, mate. Massive. I mean, I'd text Greg O'Keefe, obviously, you know, been on our podcast a few times. Great lad. I'd text him at half time saying, any news like on Dom? Have you heard anything? Because obviously, we look a completely different side when Dominic Calvert-Lewin has been in the team. He started the last five games. You know, we've looked strong at times in all of those games, and it culminated in the Brighton game, which was almost the perfect performance. But most of that performance against Brighton doesn't happen without Calvert-Lewin. Yes, Mina came in and made us look solid at the back. Yes, McNeil, you know, as I said last week, you know, was exceptional. Iwobi was exceptional, the whole team was, but that does not happen without Calvert-Lewin being the focal point of the team there. The way he played in that game was outstanding. He held the ball up brilliantly. He had dunk on toast. You know, he laid on the goal and you know, he was a perfect number nine's performance. And yeah, even yet, like you said today, until obviously he went off at half time, he was very good in the first, against, you know, let's be honest, top class defenders that City have got there as well. You know, if it wasn't for Kyle Walker's pace today, he's got a real chance on goal, and Kyle Walker's pace got him out of trouble there. Dom's knocked it around the defender, and he was very unlucky that Kyle Walker's literally one of the quickest players in the league. So, I just pray to God that the lad's fit, and, you know, before the Wolves game. We've got a week before that game that gives us time. My only slight concern is the last time he felt a strain, which was his hamstring and not his groin. He missed the next 10 games, didn't he? So, you know, you just got to pray. Even Calvert-Lewin on one leg is better than you know, the other options we've got, let's be honest. But I genuinely think if he's fit for the next two games, I really, really fancy his. But if he's out of those two games, I'm just thinking, where the hell are we going to get the goals from? We saw today when Mopay came on second half, albeit the game was done and dusted, you know, we find it almost impossible to get at the pitch, don't we, and create a threat. And his, you know, even his movement in the box, and Patterson had a good cross in it, you know, second half, nowhere to be seen, really, is he? So let's just pray, lads, that he can make the next two games, because he is absolutely vital to us staying there.
Do you not find it strange that the Mines did not to throw on Ellis Sims? You know, he's not like for like. We've had this conversation many times, but you know, Ellis Sims has come on to good effect, especially at Chelsea away. He's much more of a physical presence than Neil Mope. You could argue at half time, you know, the feeling, because the second goal certainly sucked the air out of the ground. It felt as it went, it felt very, very silent because the fans were fantastic today. You know, I think it was strange not they didn't bring on Ellis Sims to have a bit more of a physical presence and, you know, give him that experience of playing against, you know, a top side. It'd be great for his development because, with all due respect to Neil Mope, on his own especially, he's not going to do a great deal, is he? You know, he's not going to cause them any kind of problem. He's on there to literally try and close them down. But Ellis Sims, not a better option for you, Lee?
I was surprised. Like I said to you boys when I spoke to you after the game, I couldn't make it today, sadly. But I said to you, it was a weird one, that, because the way we play or the way Dice sets up and plays, he needs a physical presence up there, someone who can get hold of it. You know, like Dom has shown in the last few games, like I said. So it was a real surprise that he's given Mope a nod there. I know, look, Ellis is learning his craft at this level, but, you know, Mope's just not suited to that system. He's not suited to the way we play whatsoever. You know, he needs someone alongside him effectively to even get any sort of half-decent, you know, contribution from him, let's be fair. Bizarre that. I can then understand the other changes. You know, he said he's made those other changes for tactical reasons, Garner and Gay, because he knows he can't risk them getting injured. You know, Garner, since he's come in the side, I thought he's done really well. You know, he's keeping Onana out the side now. That's what you want, competition. But, yeah, very strange that, mate. But, I mean, you can totally understand him saying he took the decision out of Dom's hands. You can understand when he took him off. But, yeah, not bringing Sims on was a weird one.
What are your thoughts, Kev? Would you want to give Ellis Sims a bit more game time in that situation? You know, as I say, given the fact that we were playing the scoreline at the time. And by the way, we've seen he can come on and he can be a handful against, you know, a decent side when he came on against Chelsea. So would you like to see a little bit more of him?
Yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because, I mean, by all accounts, no, the first time I seen Sunderland this season was yesterday. I never seen him up to that point, but by all accounts, he was doing very well with Sunderland. To bring him back and not really use him, I found it very strange that Dyche started him at Anfield and Old Trafford. And then, you know, in the games where he'd have more chance to be effective, for example, Fulham at home, maybe, you know, he left them out and stuff. Mopai up front on his own is just not going to work ever. Gray has shown, I suppose, in bits and pieces that he can do a job up there. Gray will be ahead of Mopai in my opinion, but I think the manager seems to have a different view on that. I don't really know why, but I mean, the simple fact of it is that the drop off from Calvert-Lewin to any of those players is enormous, you know. And really and truly, if Calvert-Lewin is out for the rest of the season, where the task is going to be much, much more difficult, because I couldn't really put my trust in maybe in any of them at this point, to be honest.
I think what we've seen, you know, in games when we haven't had Dominic Calvert-Lewin, you know, you can look back since Sean Dyche came in. Obviously, we've won games against the likes of Leeds and Brentford, and I thought we were particularly away at Nottingham Forest, where we had Demarai Gray playing centrally, and you had a lot of sort of crossover and overlaps with Alex Iwobi and Dwight McNeil. So we can certainly set up in a different way, but you certainly want your main striker there and fit and firing. And as we've said already, he's looked great since he's come back in, especially the last couple of weeks and half a game today. As I say, I thought he looked really sharp yet again. So we've got to hope, you know, that this week that Dominic Calvert-Lewin, you know, can rest up. It's nothing serious. And even if he's sort of 85-90% there, he's got to be lashed in, unfortunately. That's where we are. That's my opinion. People might say, well, you know, that's no good, but it is for me. You know, I think even from a psychological perspective, you know, as fans, as players, you want to see your number nine in the side, you know, because I think it means it gives you a little bit more of a lift than maybe other players coming in. But we can't, you know, if he's not fit, he's not fit. Everton have got to find a way. It's as simple as that. We can't afford to, you know, especially the players and the manager, and I'm sure Sean Dyche won't. We can't be, you know, moping out of the place or, you know, Don might not be fit. Get on with it. Find a way. You know, at the end of the day, last game of the season, for me, it's going to go to the last game of the season. The fans will try and pull them through as best we can. It'll be raucous. It'll be lively. You know, when we're going away to Wolves, obviously, before then, aside, lost to Manchester United this weekend by 2-0. They're safe, no issues. The new manager's come in and done well with them. Like you mentioned earlier on, Kev, you know, the hope is that the likes of Wolves, likes of Bournemouth have got the flip-flops on and they're looking forward to going away for the summer. But I certainly think that we can't afford to sort of think about this too negatively. We've got to make sure that, you know, yes, it was Manchester City. It's not the end of the world that we've lost the game. And, you know, they're a quality side. And if we would have, before the Brighton City games, if you would have said, right, you know, we're going to pick up 3 points out of six, you would have all bitten your hand off. So important to keep the feel-good factor going for me, because the Brighton performance, given the fact they've just beaten Arsenal 3-0 away from home, Brighton, an Arsenal side who, you know, were vying for the title with Manchester City, that shows you how good Everton's performance against Brighton was. And shows you the quality that Everton can play at as and when needed. So hopefully we do see a bit more of that against Wolves. But let's finish off the City chat there. You know, it's, as I say, not all doom and gloom. They've scored, you know, a couple of fantastic goals, a free kick and from Gundogan, and obviously his first goal. And a goal maybe, you know, we should be doing a little bit better with in terms of Haaland. But we've got to move on. You know, two massive games to come, 6 points to play for. As far as I see it, and you know, if we win these two games, we're safe. So it's in our hands at this moment in time as we speak. No one, obviously, Leicester, but Liverpool on Monday night. So we're going to discuss the Wolves game after this short break.
I'm Alex Rodriguez,
and I'm Jason Kelly
from Bloomberg. This is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome back to the second part of today's Unholy Trinity podcast as we look ahead to the trip to Wolverhampton Wanderers next Saturday, 3:00. And it's a game that we've obviously put a lot of our hopes on, really. You know, when we looked at the final four games of the season, we're looking at them going back about 7 days ago. It was, you know, we had difficult Brighton, Man City, and we all thought that we can pick up points in the final two games. We hope that's going to be the case. You know, we know the fans were terrific today, you know, that, and we're going to play a big part again. And, for the fans today to stay behind those that were there, and cheer the players off and sing Everton songs, I think is going to be massively important that the players know we're with them all the way. And that was terrific to see that actually today. And hopefully, you know, we don't get to the last game against Bournemouth at Goodison Park where we're going to be a huge factor. But I think, like I said earlier on the show, I think we are. And our away support is going to be just as important. And we know it's sold out. Everton fans, we go everywhere. We always sell out. And the trip to Wolves is going to be a big one. Of course it is. We've got to hope that our friends across the park do us a favour tomorrow night against Leicester, because that'll be another weekend out of the relegation zone with two games to play. And we know then, you know, let's see what happens next weekend. It could be a real pivotal weekend for ourselves. But you know, it's one of those. Every away game is certainly greeted with a little bit of trepidation. The first win away from home since Southampton on October the 1st came against Brighton last week, and what a win it was. But obviously going away to Wolseley, there's got to be a little bit of hope, as we said earlier on, that their season in their heads is done. They're happy enough, they're safe, another season in the Premier League for them. And they're playing a little bit within themselves and not a full tilt.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to hope so. I mean, you know, I looked at the United, I watched the United game, bits of it yesterday, and I saw the stats. United had 27 shots to Wolves 5. Wolves didn't even have a shot on target, so that gives us a bit of hope. But that was away from home. Wolves have not been great away from home this season. I was also looking at their results. Now, the last three results they've had at home, or four actually, have basically kept them in this league. They've had a 1-0 at home against Chelsea. They've had a 2-0 result at home against Brentford straight after that. They then lost to Leicester away from home. Then they beat Palace 2-0 at home. Lost to Brighton in that, you know, absolute drubbing 6-0. And then they beat Villa, obviously in the derby there, they beat Villa 1-0 at home. So if you look at it, the last four home games, they've won four. So that you know, everyone thinking we're just going to turn up and roll them over, you know, that doesn't, you know, they're going to want to put on a performance for their fans, aren't they? Last home game of the season, the pressure's off, they've managed to stay in the league. You know, those 12 points they had from the start of April at home have essentially kept them up. You know what I mean? They were right in the mix until, obviously, they've managed to pull themselves out of it. I was also looking at their starting 11. You know, I've said it for a while. Wolves' starting 11 there is a solid team. You know, there's a solid team. There's some good players in there. You know, there's players we've been linked with in the past. You know, you've got the likes of Mateus Nunes in there. You've got Cunha, who we were linked with in January. Obviously, we couldn't get that deal done because they ended up paying, agreed to pay the summer fee from 40-odd million. But obviously, it's proved to work for them because obviously they've stayed in the league. You know, they've got the likes of Ruben Neves, probably won't be there next season, classy midfielder. A player, Pedro Neto, who I've always liked. You know what I mean? He's unlucky, he had a few injuries. But, you know, all these players started for them at the weekend. You know, and I said to you before, you know, when we were talking, you know, Diego Costa is looking fitter for them than that as well. He's played made a bit of a difference for them in terms of a big man up front. You know, imagine him and Yerry Mina going toe-to-toe. I mean, that's got red card written all over it, hasn't it? Do you know what I mean? So, the last thing we can do... What was that, Kev?
Two reds,
mate. Yeah, exactly. Those two are absolute nut jobs. So, you know, I don't know if you saw Pep's comment about Mina after today's game. He actually said, didn't he? Look, I went up to Yerry at the end of the game and said, look, you don't need to... You're a good enough player. You don't need to play like this. But, you know, I think Pep can shove that one as far as I'm concerned because he's had a few of those types of players over the years. Yeah, you know I mean, the likes of Fernandinho comes to mind, and others. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, he's one to talk. But in a way, you know what? There is an element of truth in that. You know, he is a very good centre half, isn't he? He likes to wind people up. He likes to play on the edge. You know, and part of that, I do agree with Pep. I think he is, you know, a very good centre half. I'm just so surprised that it's taken Dyche this long to, you know, to get him in the team because already. When he did come in, out the cold, as I said last week, without playing a minute, was arguably one of the best players on the pitch against a very good Brighton side. So that just shows you the class of the player. Comes straight in out the cold and puts in a performance like that. And today, as weird as it sounds, you know, we conceded three against a classy team. He looked more solid today again. You know, there's an argument to say we possibly would have conceded a few more if Michael Keane was playing today. You know, Yerry had a block off the line as well, you know, in the second half. So I just think with this Wolves team, boys, I genuinely think they have got some talent, and you know they've had some decent results against us at Goodison as well. Let's not forget that. So whilst on paper, yes, you know they're on the beach in inverted commas, we've still got to go there like the Brighton game. As I said, pray that Calvert-Lewin's fit and just play, I reckon play the same way. Just play that same way, absorb the pressure and try and play on transition.
And bear in mind as well, which is also a little bit of a factor, is we're first up next weekend out of the, what I'd say, sort of the three sides, if you like, because I know Forest are a point ahead of us, but I'm looking more at your Leicester and your Leeds. But we're first up regardless. We're the only 3 o'clock game out of Forest, Leeds and Leicester. So, you know, we can really, really, it goes one of two ways, doesn't it? You either win the game and put the pressure on those sides, big style, you know, because you go above Forest, you pull further away, hopefully fingers crossed from Leeds and Leicester, give obviously, we don't know what's going to happen with the Liverpool game just yet. Or you give them a bit of a kick up the backside, you know, if we don't win the game or we lose the game, then they're going to be rubbing their hands together thinking they are. Here's our chance. We, you know, last game before the final game of the season to plunge Everton into the bottom three and get ourselves out of it before obviously that final weekend. So it's nearly time, isn't it? And psychological games will always come into it. But we've got to approach it, Kev, haven't we, the same way we approach Brighton. You know, you've got to also feed off that great away performance, you know, to go to Brighton, who, as we said, have beaten Arsenal by 3-0 away from home. We've gone there and beat them by 5-1 with one of the best performances I've ever seen from an away Everton side. So we've got to draw upon our last away game with all the positives that we got out of it and try and take it into Wolves.
Yeah, 100%. I think you got to go at it the same way. You know, there's no choice. We're running out of time. Look, you're talking about nerves. I didn't do myself any favours yesterday. I watched both the Leeds and the Nottingham Forest matches, and yeah, it probably wasn't the brightest idea. But, you know, most of us think, I suppose, it's going to go to the last game, but I don't think many of us have considered it could be all done by next weekend. We could actually be out. We could be safe by the end of everything next weekend, please God. But I mean, Leicester have a difficult game tomorrow night, Monday night, you know. I think Leeds of West Ham away, is that right? And
yeah.
Leicester, I can't remember.
Leicester goes to Newcastle.
That's it. Look, I've looked at the fixture so many times now that I think I've just tangled myself up, and I don't know who's playing who. But going back to Wolves, I think we're going to beat them. I think we're going to go there, and I think we're going to beat them. I can see if we play in a similar fashion that we did at Brighton, and even some elements of today, you know, because you couldn't really criticise them today, really. I mean, you've got all the effort, you've got all the desire, you've got all the determination, those basics that you're looking for. You've got your organisation fairly good. I mean, you've been undone by absolutely world-class moments at times. So, as we said earlier, just put that one in the bin now, isn't it? And move on to Wolves, and I reckon we're going to do it. I think we're going to beat them.
Well, I hope that I'm just as confident as you, mate. I just think, like I said, 4 wins in a row at home has kept them up, and you just got to hope that either they make maybe a few changes, or they're not going to be as up for it last home game of the season.
No, they're not going to win 5 in a row, though. You know, it has to stop, doesn't it?
Hopefully, buddy. Hopefully, yeah.
And I wish we all had the same level of confidence, but it's just nervy times, of course. You know, it's every time I think about what's to come, my stomach goes. I mean, I'll try and relax a little bit tonight before we have to concentrate on Liverpool going to Leicester tomorrow, because your days get all consumed by other teams, don't they? You know, like you said yesterday, you know, you went through the torture of watching Leeds against Newcastle. Yeah. You know, you then keeping an eye on Chelsea Forest.
The worst I felt probably throughout all this process over the last few weeks or months or whatever is when Leeds got that penalty yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, that was the sinking feeling for me. My stomach just boom, and thank God they didn't score it, you know. But yeah, it's just horrible, all this stuff, isn't it?
Well, like we said last week after the Brighton game, you know, that's a massive high for us, and rightly so. And, you know, but there's going to be plenty more twists and turns, and we've already seen that this weekend. Obviously, okay, our result wasn't unexpected, but then you look at Leeds, you know, they've missed a penalty to go 2-0, and then Newcastle go down the other end within about 2 or 3 minutes and get a penalty themselves, and you know the game changes. So, you know, a lot of things do happen, and they will happen over the last 2 weeks of the season. But I said to Pete on the way home, I just can't wait for the season to be over. I'm mentally destroyed, and that wasn't really from the City game today. It was just more, I'm just so fatigued thinking about everything and every permutation and what we need to do and what we need other teams to do, and looking at the fixtures 50 times a bloody day to see if they change by any chance. And it's hard, it's difficult, you know, it takes over your life and your thinking. And
I think it was after the Fulham game, I just said to my kids, I'm going to bed, and wake me up when the season's finished, you know.
Hibernation.
That's it. And I think if it doesn't go our way, I think we'll all be hibernating for about 3 or 4 months, to be honest.
I looking at the fixture list, and this is obviously you never know this time of year, because you do see shock results like we you know, no one expected us to go to Brighton and turn them over. You know what I mean? And turn them over the way we did as well. So that was a shock result. So you do see results like that at this stage of the season. But I was looking at the fixture list, and I reckon 4 points keeps us up, really. I reckon, obviously, look, six, you've got to, you know, that's as good as done, isn't it? But four, the fact is that, you know, you think Liverpool fighting for the Champions League should put a few past that awful Leicester defence. You'd think that in theory. They then got Newcastle at Newcastle. So, you know, that's going to be a tough ask. Newcastle again trying to get top four. West Ham, you know, they're both, since they've basically got themselves pretty much safe, have been, you know, they got hammered today, and I imagine they won't probably win another Premier League game now between now and the end of the season. They'll be focusing on the Europa Conference. And then you've got Forest, who've got to play Arsenal next. Now, I know Forest have got a good home record and Arsenal are flaking it a little bit, but, you know, Arsenal's still in the title shout. They're still going to want to keep City honest. I know they've lost today against Brighton, but they'll still want to beat Forest before City play. So, you know, I think Forest, again, as we showed when we went, they're not great at the back. You can get at them. You know, Arsenal have got the quality in that team to get at them and score goals. So that means that really 4 points for us from the next two games should be enough. But the last thing I want, I mean, I just pray to God, what I don't want is us needing, like, say, a point on the last day of the season. You know what I mean? Hopefully it's over before then, because can you imagine sitting at Goodison Park? And then, you know, the crowd are anxious because it's 0-0. And 0-0 is good enough. And then suddenly a goal goes in somewhere, then you need a goal. And then it's just like, can you imagine? I mean, it's, you'd much rather almost kind of know that if you win, you're up type scenario, wouldn't you? Rather than just maybe hanging on for a point or something like that with 20 minutes to go.
Yeah, I don't even want to think about the last game of the season, to be honest with you. At this moment in time, I'm trying very much to live day by day and match week by match week. Just so it doesn't consume every little part of my brain, because I think that, you know, thinking about potentially having a decider, you know, and having to, as you say, pick up a point or points, you know, on the final day of the season, I can't get that in my head around that at this moment in time. So hopefully I'm as positive as Kevin come Saturday at 5 o'clock when the Wolves game is over and we've picked up 3 points. But Difficult one to call, of course. We'll try and be as positive as we can. Fingers crossed over the course of this week that Dominic Calvert-Lewin does get declared fit. Hopefully Yerry Mina, like obviously you said, Kev, you saw him just having a little stretch off at the hamstring. Hopefully there's nothing to be concerned about there. I'm sure that'll become clearer if there is. And, you know, hopefully Vitali Mykhalenko is back fit as well. You know, really important we get our left-back back in there. And he's fit and firing. But let's finish off with a round of predictions if we can. Kev, what's your prediction for Wolves next weekend?
2-0 Everton.
Wouldn't mind that. Two goals in the first 10 minutes will do for me, Kev.
That's no, sure. Two goals in the last 10 minutes, because Brighton was a nightmare. Even when we were 3 or 4 up, I couldn't sit still, you know.
I know, yeah, we were all in the same boat there, weren't we, with the Brighton game? That was that was difficult. Lee, what are you saying?
I honestly don't know. I'm going to say we nick it. I think it'll be a tightish game. I'm going to say 2-1 Everton, and we'll all be absolutely loving it. Calvert-Lewin last minute winner.
I just hope he's fit. I really do. I'm going to go for a hat trick of Everton wins. I'm going to say Everton 1-0. Very, very similar in terms of setup as to what we've seen against Man City and Brighton. We've got to approach it that way. Hopefully, the same start 11 that we saw against Brighton starts the game against Wolves, and you know we're playing for more than they are. And hopefully, that at the end of the day, that wins through and that shows. But you know, we've said it already. A little night off tonight before the mind starts working overtime again tomorrow as Monday Night Football kicks off. But that's us for this week. Kev, appreciate you taking in some time out on your Sunday evening to discuss the Blues.
No problem. Anytime, lads. Enjoyed it. Thanks very much.
Now we'll be back ourselves next weekend to look back on that Wolves game and look ahead to the final day of the season against Bournemouth. God knows what it's going to throw up next weekend, but hopefully it's a positive one, so we'll catch you then.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. Three blues, three opinions, one Everton podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.